Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Macro News for Tuesday, the 6th of May. Sorry, I got the day wrong there. It's obviously bank holiday. Tuesday, 6th of May, 2025. Sorry, I didn't do a podcast for Thursday, Friday. I'll tell you why. I was dying. Is that good enough excuse? No, honestly, even now, last Wednesday I did the webinar for the Share Pickers Investment Club, and I was feeling quite rough. And Monday, Tuesday that week, I had a cough and a bit of a cold. I was achy. Wednesday was getting worse. I just about holding on there. And then Thursday, literally, I got a really bad cough, really sore body, everything. Turns out it just wasn't a cough. It was a chest infection. And I felt dreadful. I felt like an ex-coal miner of 85 years of age who was smoking about 100 a day. I had really shallow, breath. Even walking the dog was hard work. I was in a foul mood. I was really down about it. I thought, I feel old. Is this what it's like to get old? Because let's be honest, we're all getting old. But then you get, at some point, if you're like 20, getting on 25 is too bad. But I'm now sort of 54, is this what's going to be like in like 10 years' time? So I felt like aged overnight. So I've had the antibiotics, been on that for the last couple of days, but I haven't even last night. It's so hard to sleep when you're coughing like hell, because you lie down, it gets worse. And you say, luckily my wife just, got a spare bedroom, so I'm not sleeping with you. And it was miserable. I was wheezing so loud. You can still hear it now. Anyway, but do you know what, though? I just had a really miserable bank holiday weekend. Just couldn't really sleep, couldn't do anything, felt really ill, sorry for myself, a bit depressed. And then Monday, yesterday, I got up, I felt so feeling good again. But not back to 100%. But, I'm getting up to sort of 85, where I was down at 60, I think, at one point. I don't know what point you're critical. Probably just below that. My wife says I'm hypochondriac, but I says yes, I've got that as well. I don't whinge about that, but I was feeling quite rough, and so it is nice. It's that thing, isn't it? You don't appreciate your health until you don't have it, and then you start getting a bit better. And you think, wow, I don't want to be ill again. You just take it for granted. You are ill. You should get every day thinking, I'm healthy this May, I'm today, this morning, yes. And draw on the spot a bit. In my health. Because the most important thing, of course, that's all we've got is, basically your time left in health. That's all you've got, really, isn't it? Let's be honest. You can have as much money in the world as you want to. I always think of Steve Jobs when he had that, The super achiever. Hugely talented guy. A genius. And he just wanted his health, didn't he? But took it for granted. By the way, while I was in Turkey on holidays, I'm going to recommend a couple of podcasts. I was aware of this podcast before, but you've got to select which kind of books, take your fancy. Founders is a podcast, and it basically, this guy goes through these books of, esteemed individuals that have existed on the planet. For many, many years back, he goes, and he writes notes about them and sort of summarizes the book for you in an hour and the background of the person. It's very good. I listened to quite a few on holidays. I used to walk at the beach for in Turkey in the morning. I used to walk for like 25 minutes up, 25 minutes back. So I get 50 minutes worth of an exercise on my watch. That way, when I stuff myself at the buffet all day long, I didn't feel as bad. Well, still felt bad, but not as bad. And one I just listened to today now, walked, I'm down in sort of, you know, not far from Winchester, that's where I live, took the dog up St. Catherine's Hill for a walk. And there's hundreds of books this guy's covered. And Jim Simons came up, a genius trader who died not long back. Phenomenal guy, really worth listening to. So Founders, I don't know what episode it is, but Jim Simons. And I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but I think he's probably the most successful trader ever in the world. I'm not a trader, but it's all about his genius. He wasn't a trader. That's the thing. He was a mathematician. And he came up with a system, a solution. I love things like that. I love processes like that. I mean, that's what, you know, trying to do with the Market Cap League. Just, you know, looking at the winning formula of previous companies and applying that and searching for future winners. Because it works, of course. You've got a big enough sample size. And he was a stickler for data. He had the most data. You got these guys collecting data from like 1850 on stock markets. But yeah, it's a very good listen. And also I listened to a podcast yesterday, actually. Merrin Talks Money on Bloomberg. She's talking to the guys who are into nuclear reactors and all that stuff and uranium. And the simple thing is, you know, everyone thinks now, how can we back AI? And of course, you could try and find individual companies, but it's a lot of competition in AI, isn't there? So you can try and find individual companies. But I tell you what you should do when you understand this, it makes sense. I suppose if you want a more generalized thesis or way of benefiting from the growth of AI. Because let's be honest, it's everywhere. It's going to happen. There's many people saying it's as important as the internet. I do believe that. They're saying, you know, in many years' time, everyone will have their own AI system to help you do all the menial tasks. Then you've got to think energy. And this is very interesting because did you know the average AI search is roundabout takes 10 times the energy a normal Google search takes. And so if you understand the proliferation of AI data centers is going to happen over the next 5-10 years, and there's a good report on Goldman Sachs I started reading yesterday. I think it was like energy use. I think by 2030, by AI data centers is going to increase by 160%. Now, I think, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, where are they going to get the energy from? Because a few of them have tried solar and wind, but like I said, it's not a consistent power form. When you've got people around the world doing AI searches and tasks until 24 hours a day, there's not a consistent power. Now, what a lot of companies are going with, if you look at, I think it's Google, I think some of the others, is it Microsoft as well? But they're looking at small modular reactors. And of course, what do small modular reactors take? Uranium. I didn't realize Kazakhstan produces, I think it's Canada, Australia, and Kazakhstan produce about 60% of the world's uranium. And it's very power dense. You don't need a lot of it. But there is a shortness of supply, and there will be a shortness of supply because you've seen, I don't know if you've heard that, more countries are leaning towards or, you know, giving the nod to nuclear because they realize it's very efficient, it's very clean as well. Of course, you have to store it somewhere safe once it's used, but it's very clean, so it's a renewable, but it's a lot more efficient, and you've got that constant base load of energy. So it's worth listening to that podcast, and at the end, I think Marion does suggest how you get exposure to uranium, and there's a couple like Geiger Counter, which is a GCA ticker, which is they invest in uranium explorers, I think producers as well, miners. And also there's Yellow Cake, who actually buys uranium, just buys spot uranium. And then when the share price gets above the net asset value, they issue shares and buy more uranium. Now, when uranium price takes off, it goes nuts. It really does. And I think over the next 5-10 years, because, you know, it's very hard to start up a uranium plant. You know, you imagine the processing, the environmental permits, because uranium, of course, hugely contaminant. It's a very complex, you know, process. So you can't just fire them up. There's over demand, there's under supply, it'll be like that for a long time. And you look at the price of uranium, it does have these massive spike ups. And so I think, you know, maybe getting a bit of exposure to that means you're getting exposure to AI data center. If you're confident that AI is going to take off, which I think you're quite confident in that. And then following that rule, think, okay, how are they going to power these data centers? Because they can't just rely on gas, you know, because it would suck, it'll kill the grid already, especially in the UK and places like that. You know, so they've got to find alternative power forms, and it's going to hold them back. And of course, if you are in the race to dominate the AI market, you're not going to let energy, you know, hold you back. So these companies will be building their own small modular reactors next to data centers. So that's a very interesting play, I think. Okay. Sorry, I went off piece a bit there, but I'm catching up after having 3 days off, I suppose. 3 days, yeah. So let's look at quick macro news. Let's look at the markets first. Sorry, markets are closed now. It's gone. In fact, just looking at Ramsden's, hit an all-time high on Friday, hit an all-time high today. I've been banging the drum for that for a while. So I kept saying, listen, it's investing 101, that. It's got growth, double digit, right? It's not a huge knock doors off growth. You don't need to, though, because it's got a very low PE. So if you understand that, you know, it's like a PE of 9 or something, and it's double-digit growth. So that PE goes down to like 8 or something next year. It's ridiculous. And they also pay income. So you've got growth and value. Finding those two together is quite hard. Honestly, if you're just stuck to doing that, and I'm talking about double-digit growth and value, which is like almost single-digit PE, it's very rare, and income of like about 5%. It just, you know, makes sense. And also, of course, their income streams are very predictable. They have 170 stores, and they've got four different kinds of sectors they're into. One of them is gold, so maybe he's getting interest in that. But they don't rely on gold, and they're not sort of you know, operationally leveraged gold. They always have a margin. So if gold goes down, they still make money on it. Anyway, yeah, sorry, what I said, Charlie Ramsden's in front of me, that's why. Okay, let's look at the markets. First of all, FTSE 100, has it done it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 up days. Never, ever happened. It's not an all-time high, though. Oh, did I say, by the way, the Microcap Fund, which is I invest in the top 20 companies of the Microcap League, is now outperforming all indices in the UK. So AIM All Share, not hard. Small Cap Index, not hard. It's beaten the 250, FTSE 250, it's beaten the FTSE 100, which has recently hit an all-time high, also had a record of 15 up days. It's beaten that. And it's beating all professional small and microcap fund managers that I've got access to. So about 7 or 8 of them. Seven small and microcap fund managers. These are managers paid. They're professionals, apparently. No, they are professional. Of course they are. But to seek out companies with investment potential, and the metrics, you know, I've come up with based on winners, previous winners, that filter out trash and keep in good companies. Picking those companies have outperformed, and I think the nearest fund manager, let's say the best performing fund manager, is still, look at that, wow. So the best fund manager, small cap, is iShares, UK small cap, and my fund, my Microcap League fund, has outperformed them by 11.5% since September last year. And yeah. And it's outperformed FTSE by 6.4%. It's outperformed AIM by 15%. In fact, these companies here, they're not even outperforming the FTSE, the AIM All Share. What's the point? You could just invest generally in the AIM All Share. So anyway, so I just thought I'd say that, bang my own drum. If I don't bang my own drum, no one else is going to. But I think that's quite good, you know, because I'm not a professional. Well, I suppose I sort of do it for a living, but I've not been trained to do it, so, you know, anyway. Let's just trust in it's about trusting the numbers, you know, just based on data. That's all it's based on. You know, rather than having sort of individual sort of companies you may like, the story of, ignore that. If a company's good, it'll come through in the data, in the numbers. Anyway, Where was I? FTSE 100, yes. God, I've gone off PC, haven't I? Yeah, so that's up, sort of, it was at 1 point. So it wasn't a huge gain, but it was a gain. Let's look at S&P 500, down 0.5%. FTSE 250, it was up 0.5%. FTSE small cap, 0.5% up. What else we got? The AIM all share. Oh, yeah, I missed this. It is now at a resistance level. It's really a nice bounce from 625, 621, a low of 624, sorry. It's now at 710. So it's done a heck of a rise since since the 8th of April. It's risen by 13%, or 13.8%. Now, we are at this level where it's bounced off before and broke down, which is, it is 7.9. So this may be a bit of a resistance here, but it's a good start. It may go sideways here, but it's a good start. Brent crude, it fell off dropped a little bit yesterday, but it's up today 4.5% to $62 a barrel. Of course, the OPEC Plus, which they've got little control over now, they don't really act in tandem, but they're upping their supply at a time when there's worry about the markets going down, the economy slowing. So that's Brent crude. Bitcoin, it's at 94,527. I think we're going to roll over here now, the markets. They've had a good run, the American markets, off the lows. But I do believe, the golden cross has happened. When that happens generally in the S&P 500, it tends to go lower. Yes, you get some bear market rallies, but it tends to roll over. And let's be honest, there's a heck of a lot of damage Trump has done. There's so many sycophants around him, not stating the obvious, not stating fact, just going along with his narrative. Government bonds, what else is there? There's copper. It's up a little bit here. Where are we, copper? It's up 1.78% today. We're in the middle of a sort of range here at the moment. It's at $10,543 a tonne. Of course, recent high was 11.5. Recent low is 9,000. Gold, it's up again the last 2 days. Up again. It's heading towards recent high. $3,404 an ounce, gold. I think it's going to keep going up, gold. All the worries. So debt, government bonds, the yield of the 2 year, 3.8, down 1.3%. And the 10 year is at 4.5, down 0.4%. It's quite hot in my office. I was going to open the door, but the kids in the garden, they're getting a noise. I'm starting to get hot now. Some macro news then. UK and India agree a trade deal after 3 years of talks. So make easier for firms to export whiskey, cars and other products to India and cut taxes on India's clothing and footwear exports. Well, there we are. That'd be quite good. Cheap clothes. Last year, trade between the UK and India totaled $42.6 billion. And was already forecast to grow, but the government said the deal would boost trade by an additional $25 billion a year. That's amazing, isn't it? That's over 50%. Meanwhile, car giant Ford and Barbie maker Mattel warns over tariff costs. They both warned their Mattel says it's going to sell less to America from China. Ford said the levies will cost about $1.5 billion for tariffs. By the way, Ford is one of the latest of many companies who have now pulled their earnings guidance, which is not good, is it? Because, professional investors, they want some guidance as to know what kind of return they get on their investment. If they don't have any guidance, they're not going to invest. You stop investing, what happens? Exactly. Share prices sink, and, especially if in I'm not talking about stocks and shares, but investing in businesses from the start. If you, if you're uncertain over what's going to happen next couple of years, as far as costs are concerned, investors will pull investment. So it'll stall growth completely. I do believe what's happening, and Trump is saying he's going to put exports on films now. I honestly think it's going to be a huge hit to the US economy and not good for the world either. At the moment, we're in this area where, it's the calm before the storm. It'll be a bit of a rally oversold levels. I think the markets will go lower than those previous lows recently. Scotty, what you see there is the market not really knowing, so it's trying to find a low somewhere. And it's trying to find or correct the right levels of earnings it thinks tariffs will have the impact on. It doesn't really know. So then you get this point where people, well, maybe we've overdone it a bit, down 20%. I think it's going to be worse than that in reality. I think it'll have a knock-on effect for many years. So I think that's the first leg down, a bullish rally. I think it'll fall lower. What else? UK services sector contracts at steepest pace since 2023, PMI shows. So, of course, services sector makes up about 82% of our entire economy. But it dropped to 49 last month from March's 52.5. The steepest pace of decline since January 23, although it was marginally above a preliminary reading for April of 48.9. That's still not good. We're in contraction there. A little bit worrying. Okay, and some companies. I'm looking at microcap companies, of course. I want them to be, I want to find companies that can go on the microcap league. They have to be profitable, they have to be growing, they have to show signs of value. But first of all, they have to have a growth and value. Growth and profitable, first of all. If not, they're looking like they could become profitable or they're on a recovery from having a lackluster period, then they could be on one of the two of the watch lists, which is potential for growing maiden profits or recovery if they've had profits before and they've dipped. Or, this is from my microcap database on the website, by the way, or if they're green, they're on the microcap league. If they're yellow, they're on one of those two lists. If they're red, there are no lists. So, first and foremost, these are companies that are commercial, so revenue-generating, all these are. They're below 100 million enterprise value, which, of course, is the market cap plus debt minus cash. So, first of all, Amcomri Group, AMCO is ticker. I don't have much information on this. It's a buy, improve, build company focused on acquiring, integrating and enhancing specialist engineering services. It only listed back in December. It's got a market cap of 35 million. It does have enterprise value of 46. So it's got a bit of debt. So cash of 4 million, debt of 14. They came out with a trading update today and they're expecting to do top line growth of 21% to 57 million and 1.8 profit for tax. So there's not a lot of information on this, but it looks quite decent. It's got growth. The margins are forecast to improve. And for 2025, so they're just about to release their 2024 figures, if they hit those forecasts, it's a PE of 11.6, which is not too bad. So if AMCO, worth keeping an eye on, I'd say. Eden Research, don't bother, ignore, loss-making, small. It's nuts. The broker has a target price of 20 pence on this. The share price is 4 pence. And for the life of me, I can't see why. So what's the news today? It was results for the year, end of December. I can't see other brokers have got a target of 20 pence this company. That would make the company's market capitalisation close to 100 million. Their forecast revenue for 2025 is 5 million, with a loss before tax of 1.8. It's overvalued at 16. Ignore. It's not worth it. It's a jam tomorrow stock, as they say. Facilities by ADF. It's come down a lot because it's been knocked massively. These are final results for the year. Since IPO, ADF has disappointed consistently. These results are no exception. Revenue flat, loss before tax of 2.83 million versus a profit before tax of 615. Cash down 63% to 2.3 million versus 6.2. Free cash flow down 456% to 3.3 million negative versus 950k positive. They keep mentioning the writer's block, strike, all that stuff. You've also now got Trump warning over tariffs. Whether they happen or not doesn't matter. It's the uncertainty. Brokers forecast return to growth in 2026 because, in fact, what numbers are these? Oh, 2025, they forecast. With revenue up 21% and profit for tax of 1.6, which put them on a PE 12, not bad. But listen, only believe these figures when you see them in a trading update. Until that time, I would ignore. Filtronic is normally bigger than I talk about, but this was in the microcap league. It's now in the Hall of Fame, which is just another watch list. There's only four watch lists. Hall of Fame, Potential Recovery, and Merit Recovery. Hall of Fame for companies that are now bigger than 100 million market cap, but they were in the market cap league, and of course they've excelled. They've had lots of ahead of expectations numbers. Now, Feltronic, of course, are a 209 million market cap, and they come out with a trading update. The company expects to exceed market expectations. By the way, it's a very good sign when companies say that, unless they've had quite a lot of them and they're overvalued. And in fact, on the database, on the Market Cap League database, you can tick a little box that just selects companies that are reported ahead of expectations. And I do a blog actually on the performance of companies that have done this. They're quite exceptional. But this is what I would say. 2025 is looking to be a blowout year. This is the current year they're in, of course. So when is this? 31st of the 5th. So May end of year. It looks like they're going to do 116% top line growth, 319% of profit before tax to 14.1. This has put them on a PE of 16.2, which is not expensive for that growth. But be careful. As yet, there may be more contract wins. There's no growth pending for 26, which would put them on a PE of 30. You've always got to be careful buying companies, with a PE of 30, especially when growth is going down. So I think they're, priced quite well here at the moment. Unless they win some more contracts, I would stand back. You've missed, me too. I missed the upturn in this. I don't know why. To be honest, I wasn't fully over the market cap league when they started the run 2 years ago. So there we are. Fusion antibiotics or antibodies, ignore, waste of time. Forecasts are literally pitiful. This company literally never made a profit. Been going for years and years. Their revenue was double what it was in 22, where it was now. They've got £1 million in cash. They'll get through that very quickly. You may be able to sort of trade it if they, raise some money a couple of months after the churn, but apart from that, waste of time. G-Tech as well, very similar. It's these results were an improvement. Revenue is up 16% to 4.6 million versus 4. Loss before tax also reduced dramatically by 69% to 1.58 versus 5.1. However, net cash is low at 485. The forecasts aren't worth getting excited about. Revenue is only forecast to grow by 7%, and they'll still be loss making by 700K. So, a lack of cash, cash doubt and may constrain more potential upside. Ignore unless they win a big contract. But they also focus on oil and gas. And with low oil and gas prices, I think they won't be spending too much money with oil and gas companies. Huddle Group. Now, the growth thing here is very good. It's a dynamic e-commerce retail group specializing in surplus goods and operating a portfolio of socially and environmentally responsible businesses. In fact, it's Martin Huddleston, I think it is, the CEO. He was in Motion. I used to be CEO of that company. And anyway, they have a market cap of 10.9 million, enterprise value 9.3. These are full year results. Revenue up 487% to 14.2, but they've also loss before tax has grown by 78% to 4 million. Now they've got cash of 1.6. They do keep mentioning getting towards profitability. In fact, they're watering down the level of profitability they achieve now. And they say their focus is on getting to operational profitability. Focusing time and effort in moving the business into operational profitability does not mean they will be profitable. It's increasingly looking like their 1.6 million cash may need a boost, because I think the forecasts here are they won't get the profitability until 2026 year. And I think that cash is going to be stretched a bit. In fact, I've got to change something there. What else is there? Maintel is improving. Ignore it for now. What else is there? Time Finance, just an update. They do keep saying this. People take the hint. They keep saying the full year results will be at least in line with recently upgraded market guidance. So that guidance was upgraded, the last set of rocks, right? And now this will be at least. So the minimum will be in line. I think it's, if you look at this company's history reporting, they're quite conservative. What they do is under-promise, over-deliver. That's the way it should be. So they're on a PE of 9. And they're growing by double-digit revenue and profits. It's insane. Insane. I really think it's a very good quality company. Yeah, PE of 9.4 for 2025. So it's a good quality company, growing all the time. And it's worth checking out. And finally, XP Factory. They're not on the market cap league, they're not yet profitable, but they came out with a trading update today. What are their market cap in the moment? 19 million. They, of course, operate escape rooms and social competitive socializing bars, Boom Battle Bar. So they're going to do 60 million for the year. Is that right? Yeah. Underlying EBITDA for financial year is at the upper end of market guidance. Not a big fan of EBITDA. So where's the 60 million top line? So that's going to be... what's going on? 2024, they've messed up the years because they've gone from 15 months, they've changed the date. Anyway, it looks like they're going to be profitable before tax for the first time ever. Now, like-for-like growth is what worth looking at because, of course, these are comparing sites as they mature. It was only 2.5%, but it sounds unimpressive, but against a backdrop, a gloomy backdrop among leisure hospitality companies where many of them are shutting down, people's bills increasing, consumer sentiment being down, and the widely reported trend of young people not drinking as much alcohol as previous generations, it's still growth. So, it's quite good. Like I said, forecast 2025, that'd be a maiden profit. This is a positive, although it's only a small profit. It's 900K before tax, puts on a PE of 28. Nevertheless, I think this is a step in the right direction, and especially in this very hard environment. And as sites mature, of course, they did the big bulk of their opening sites, I think 23, 22. As they become more mature and profitable, of course, there'd be less of a drag, and the operating leverage would improve, and margins would improve. They're thinking of doing 90 million of sales, 90, and 13 million pre-IFRS 16 adjusted EBITDA for 28. So it'd be, I think, hopefully around 3-4 million net profit. So, they also benefit from interest rates coming down, more disposable income. So while this, this sector has been in the dogs, I think companies like this are improving, even hard times, could do well. So keep an eye on them, I think, XP. That's it for the day. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados. Speak you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.